You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. We are live.
We are live.
We are live. That's right. I need to
We're hop on the live
for my... Oh, shoot. We need to hop on this live right here so I can check out your comments. But I'm happy to be live with you guys. Ben, are you happy to be live with everybody?
Thrilled.
Thrilled. Certainly. That's right. Listen, something that we do on the Uncanceled Podcast, before we get into any Bible teaching, which I promise you we're going to get into plenty of Bible teaching today. But before we do that, we do something very special.
Yeah, special and fun.
We've done lots of Rate That's, but I think this one has been the winner. We've kind of found our home with this one. Yeah. We were building a team, and we finally found the missing piece.
Yeah, this is the captain of our Rate That team.
This is the captain of our Rate That team. I would agree. Well, it is time to
rate that.
Crumble cookie. Here we go. Before we go into today, I want to say once again, those of you watching on Instagram, we're so happy that you're here on Instagram. That's great. If you want to watch on Instagram, you can. But I would tell you this, for a better watching experience, go on YouTube. YouTube is just a better camera quality, a better sound quality. But if you like Instagram, hey, we're happy to have you on Instagram, right?
We sure are.
Awesome. So I actually already saw the flavors this week.
Oh, you did?
I did. And I could just snipe right now.
Oh, you think so?
I think I can pull out just like, just pull it out and snipe. But I am not going to, I'm not pulling the sniper out yet.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's only fair for the people to hear the flavors
like
for the week, right?
Yeah. I like that idea.
Play along with me a little bit. You guys can go ahead and take a guess.
The way this
on...
works is Pastor Joey doesn't know what cookie I got, so he's got to guess it right. And
that's
he's
right.
really good at it. Hardly ever gets it wrong.
Oh, yeah. I never get it wrong. Only every week. But in all seriousness, play along with us. I forgot some of you guys maybe have never seen us do Rate That Crumble Cookie before.
What a treat.
Welcome.
What a treat.
All right. So naturally, just so that you guys know, always the like the brownies or like the cakes are out because we're rating cookies only. We're not doing their cakes and stuff. So really the options this week would be wild berry sugar, semi-sweet chocolate chunk, which Ben would not get that because that's just a very basic thing. Mallow cream, which is, has Lucky Charms. Milk glaze featuring Fruity Pebbles or the original pink sugar. So right off the bat, Ben is going to either pick the mallow cream or the milk glaze. He's not picking this grandma wild berry sugar cookie. That's just not happening. But I really think it could be either one, and either one is a great pick. It's a great pick. Did you read the descriptions?
I actually did.
You did read the descriptions.
I did. Normally I don't, and I kind of go on look.
This sounds so good. It is inspired by the iconic cereal, rich with white drops, vanilla marshmallow frosting, and colorful Lucky Charms marshmallows sprinkled on top. That sounds amazing. Let's go to the milk glaze. A soft cereal milk-flavored sugar cookie brushed with a milky glaze and topped with colorful Fruity Pebbles cereal. Oh, man. Can I tell you this?
Yeah.
When I came in, I had a snipe.
Did you?
But I don't think I want to go with that snipe
wow.
anymore. Because after reading the descriptions, I kind of feel like one sounds more intriguing than the other. Here's what I think. I'm going to try and get in Ben's mind for a second.
Get in here.
First off, I don't know what a milky glaze is. I don't know what that is. It sounds so interesting and intriguing. I don't know if you are like, oh, it's just like a sugar cookie. Like, so there's like nothing really that special about it. Man, this is such a tough choice. This is such a tough choice, guys. Can you tell me this? I have the top two, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I have the top two,
right? I'll tell you what, though. That grandma cookie kind of sounded good.
No, it didn't.
It kind of did.
No, it didn't.
To me. I think that
wild berry sugar, what is that?
It has raspberry and strawberry and blueberry in it. Yeah. I bet it's solid.
I bet you your grandma would love it if you brought that to her.
Hey, she probably would. You know, she's probably watching.
Is she really?
Not live, but she'll watch it replay.
Oh, Grandma, stop her. Hello. Man, I'll tell you this. My snipe when I came on, I can't look at you because I can't see your reaction. My snipe when I got on was the milk glaze with the Fruity Pebbles. That was my snipe when I came on. But after reading the descriptions, I'm kind of like leaning away from that. So I'm going to have to go with milk glaze.
Oh, you are? You're sticking with your snipe?
I am. I'm sticking with my snipe.
Come on!
Hey, yes. Let's go! Good Come stuff. On!
I'll tell you, the thing that put it over the top for me was it said it was a cereal milk sugar cookie.
Yeah,
like, what is that?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
No, I kind of knew. I played it on purpose.
Oh, okay,
I knew I was going to go
and
with
also,
the milk glaze.
It just looks so good.
Oh, it does.
Oh, it looks so
and
cool.
And Fruity Pebbles are great.
It's got some crunch in there. Yeah.
I am very fruity. Fruity Pebbles are great. That was obviously a joke. Let's see. Let's go. Ooh. Grayson, you're going to love this, man. You're going to love this. He's in the sound booth. You know what's funny? When one of our students comes into the on a potty Thursday and is like, oh, so like you're doing crumble cookie today? I'm like, oh, yeah, you don't want to listen to podcasts.
Like,
it's like
75% of the time, Grayson.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's go for it. Here we go. My taste buds are confused.
Mine too. Whoa. Whoa.
Every chew is a different flavor.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an experience. That just kind of woke me up.
That's like Aaron Rodgers' experience of having ancestors lay hands on him.
Wow.
If you're just tuning in, by the way, we're going to get to the Bible teaching in just a second. We're live on Instagram and we're live on YouTube. For a better watching experience, go over to YouTube.
Okay. At first, I was kind of just tasting sugar.
Yeah, I was
like
out
not,
on it at first.
Not really like fruit or anything, but just sugar. And then when I like reacted, that's when like the Fruity Pebbles kicked in and I actually like really like got Fruity Pebbles. And now there's like this weird like film in my mouth, like feeling where it's like I just ate some cereal. Are you getting that at all?
Yeah.
Just like a coating in your mouth?
Yeah. No. So here's a complaint that I have, and I don't really know if there's anything they could do about this because it's
I think
like,
I'm going to have the same thing.
The cereal's soggy.
The cereal's a little stale.
Yeah, it's stale and soggy. Yeah. I don't really know if there's anything they could do about that, to be honest with you, just because of the nature of cereal and what happens. I would like it to be a little crisper. You want to hear a hot take?
Yeah.
I think that the marshmallow cookie would have been better.
Think so?
I think this was the right choice because we wanted to pick one that was going to be, like, extra different. And I feel like the other one would have been like, I hope there would have been a marshmallow taste in it and not just, like, super sweet. Because there's a difference between vanilla and marshmallow.
Right.
I like this cookie. I think it's a good cookie. I don't think it's anything to write home about. It was like a weird experience in my mouth. No other way of saying it.
It was a strange experience all the way through.
I think it was just like multi-layered. It was nice. It was an interesting texture. Little bit crunchy. Little bit like the cookie was soft.
The cookie was good.
I have a rating for this. Would you eat the entire cookie?
I would.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. I have a rating for this one. I have a rating for this one. I'm ready to go. Yep. Ready? 3, 2, 1, 7. Whoa.
It's a seven. Yeah.
It's a seven,
yeah,
man.
No doubt. Yeah.
It is. Yep. All day, all night.
Yep.
It's a seven.
And if
you don't have it at a seven, you're wrong. No, I'm just kidding. But you might really like it. I mean, for me, it just screams seven. You know what it kind of gives a little bit? Did you ever get the Fruity Pebbles Rice Krispie Treats as a kid?
I don't think so. I don't remember
They're really sugary and sweet. The Fruity Pebble Rice Krispie Treats are better than this.
Okay.
But they kind of were a little bit like that.
I think that this is probably worth you trying. At least in like a mini. Because it was a strange experience. But like by no means bad.
I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah. Great.
Well, thanks guys for tuning in to Rate That Crumble Cookie. It's time to get into the Bible teach. Do I need to move over or can I just stay here?
You should probably move over.
I should probably move over. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'm getting a nod from the sound booth too. There we go. I'm centered. Well, guys, I'm so happy that you guys decided to tune into the Uncancelled podcast today in this impromptu live video. You know why I wanted to do it live? Does somebody in the comments ask me why? Why did you want to do it live? Somebody hit me with a quick why. And while I'm waiting for you guys to catch up to speed with that, I am very excited to be live with you guys today. And I want you guys to be interactive with me. I want you guys to write comments. I want you guys to comment on different things that I'm saying. Ask questions. I don't want this to just be you guys sitting here watching a screen. I want you guys to be super interactive with me. So somebody go ahead and drop in the comments who's going to be the first person to drop why. I need to figure out how far behind we actually are because I don't really know. How far behind are we, Marsh? Nobody's done it yet, so and I'm sure that somebody would have if it would have caught up. So 30 seconds, something like that. All right, that's all right. Well, I'm just gonna move on then. I'm gonna tell you why. Because 30 seconds is a long clip to be behind. Why do I want to go live today? I wanted to go live today. Why, Ben? No reason. I just wanted to be live today. I wanted to teach the Word of God live to you today. Dan, what's going on? Alondra, what's going on? Sophia, what's going on? Like I said like 1,000 times already, for a better watching experience, go to YouTube. YouTube will be much better quality, camera and audio. Mackenzie, thanks for asking why. You can always count on Mackenzie. Should I leave this here? All right, word. All right, guys. Well, today, as you saw, I titled, sorry, I need to grab my Bible. Robin, what's going on? I titled today, Don't Give Up on Your Faith. Don't give up on your faith. You know, we all believe God for different things. In fact, I would even go as far to say, you should believe God for something. You should always be believing God for something different. I'm not saying believe in God for the same thing for 20 years because that's not how God works. But what I'm saying is believing God for many different things. You should be believing God for one thing to the next thing. Keep believing God that He's going to do something else in your life. If you ever have a time in your life where you're not believing God for something, may I challenge you today to believe God for something. Believe God for something else. Because God wants to do things in our life. Amen? But, you know, here's the reality. Is that what about when we have faith? We have our faith set on something. And it just seems to not be happening. We have our faith set on something. We've been believing God for this specific thing. We've been believing God for this thing to happen. That thing to happen. What do we do? What do we do when we believe God for something to happen? We have our faith set on it, and it just seems to not be happening. And I want to be very clear about this right up front, because I don't want anyone to misconstrue this. It is not that God is just trying to be a mean God that doesn't want to answer your prayers. It's not just that God, sometimes He answers, sometimes He doesn't. Amen? That's not true. That's not what we're talking about today. What I'm going to talk to you about today is titled, again, Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. Listen to this. Believers, Christians, do not live by their experiences. In fact, you are out of faith if you live based on your experiences. You're actually out of faith. Why? Because experiences are something that I can see. And that's not faith. Faith is not just believing in what you see. Faith is actually, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me explain this real quick. Or I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read from the NLT. I'm going to read everything from either the ESV or the NLT today. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith does not have evidence just simply by what we see, but why what we do not see. In order to be saved, you have to have faith. What do you mean? I have to believe that Christ rose from the dead, although I did not see him rise from the dead. I have to believe that Jesus really did live, really did die, and really did rise from the dead, and really is seated in heavenly places right now. I have to believe that. I have to have faith even to be saved. Don't give up on your faith just because you're not seeing it, just because you've been believing for something for a while. Don't give up on your faith in God, first off, and don't give up on your faith in what you're believing for. The only time you should ever give up on what you're believing for is if what you're believing for is not biblical. If you're believing that God is going to, you know, help your drug cartel or you as a drug dealer, or God's going to stretch your cocaine to be like, you know, more than what it needs to be, you should get your faith off of that, because God is not going to help you with something that's outside of his word. Amen. But when you believe something the Bible says that you can believe, when you believe God for healing in your body, when you believe God for financial provision, when you believe God for him to give you instruction, when you believe for God to give you help, you can stand on that and take that to the bank that it is going to happen. What is faith? It's the confidence. It's the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Confidence. I am confident that when I believe God for something, it will happen. I am confident that we have our spring kickoff coming up. I am confident that we are going to see every single dime that we need, every single dollar that we need for that event is going to come in supernaturally. Why? Because I have faith. I believe. I have confidence. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. Go to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Joey, I have faith. I've been believing God for something for a while, and it just hasn't seemed to happen. I don't think I'm living in sin. And if you've prayed about it and you don't feel a conviction in your spirit and you're a Christian, then you're not in sin. I've been really believing God. I've been standing on his word. I really believe that it's going to happen. How come I'm not seeing it? How come I'm not seeing it? I'm here to encourage you today that it's only a matter of time until that thing comes to pass. Faith is not if, faith is when. I was having a conversation with Grayson, actually, one of our students before. And as I was talking to Grayson, I said to him, you know, Grayson, it's not an if we are going to have to move out of the impact room because we ran out of space. It is a when we're going to have to move out of the impact room. Last night we had 131 students at impact. And I'll tell you what, I can say this confidently about last night. We didn't just have 131 students and, like, you know, some of them were, like, you know, interested in being there and some weren't. Everyone was locked in last night to what God was doing. And we had a great service, a great altar response. Why do I say that? Well, last night was pretty full here in this room. We were already starting to, you know, get jam-packed. We had 159 people, 131 students. And we were already starting to feel it. I believe God that we're going to get to a point where we're not going to be able to have service in here anymore. It's going to happen. It's not an if, it's a when. It's not an if the thing you're believing for is going to happen. It's a when it's going to happen. When is it going to happen? Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. This is a very commonly, weirdly preached passage of Scripture. This is where Jacob wrestles with God. And then you have, like, that guy that gets up there. And I remember I was somewhere one time. And I was listening to somebody preach. And they preached a sermon about wrestling with God. And I felt uncomfortable. And it was, like, weird. Like, it was like a WWE match, and, like, it was like, you know, you just have to wrestle things out with God. You know, when God tells you to do something, you just wrestle it out with him. And it just gets really weird really fast. So let's talk about really what was going on with Jacob wrestling with God and what that has to do with not giving up on your faith. Genesis 32, verse 22. It says, the same night, he, being Jacob, arose and took his two wives. I'm reading from the ESV version right now. His two female servants and his 11 children and crossed the fjord of the Jabbok. Fjord? By the way, yeah, I'll just say, just so that you guys know, yes, Jacob had two wives. No, God did not approve of him having two wives. Different topic for a different time. But just saying. So don't have two wives, gentlemen, unless you want to move to Utah. Genesis chapter 32, verse 23. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. And so here are a couple of things that we have to point out here. First off, who is this man? It is presumed that this man is either God or an angel of God. Most people view it as being God. And the reason why is because of what Jacob names the place. He names it Peniel. And what does that mean? Well, Peniel means, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." And so he names it that place. Why? Because he's saying he had an encounter with God, that it was God that he met. And so we can assume that this is God. Now, here is something I had a hard time with this. I feel like people are more interested sometimes in preaching like a like weird, like, emotional sermon about you just wrestle it out with God, and you just, after you're done, you pin them into the ground, and it's 1, 2, 3, and you just got to prevail. Let me explain to you what actually happened here. First off, it seems like Jacob and God had this wrestling match at face value, and Jacob won. Something I had a hard time with was, how could anyone beat the Lord? Like, he is the all-powerful one. How can anyone beat God and overpower him? Once you catch up with this, those of you that are watching on YouTube and Instagram, go ahead and write in the comments that this, if this confused you as well. I'm curious if somebody else has been confused by this before, because I've been confused by it. But what happened? Did Jacob just overpower God? And he was just stronger than the Lord, the creator of the universe? No. Jacob did not overpower God. That is not what happened. Jacob rather persevered in his faith. He persevered in his faith. God could have beat him easily. If it was a matter of strength versus strength, God could have absolutely beat him easily. Well, how do we know that for sure? God literally reached out and just touched his hip. Touched it. And his hip went out of his socket. If God wanted to, at the snap of his fingers, Jacob could have been dust if he wanted him to. So this is not a matter of two men wrestling it out, but God just, you know, God didn't hit the gym as much as Jacob. That's not what this was. This was a perseverance of Jacob's faith. Jacob would not let him go until he blessed him. Would not let him go. And what really this was is, this was a test of Jacob's faith, where God was saying, "All right, I'm going to go now. All right, let me go. It's daybreak. Let me go." But Jacob said, "I can't let you go." God was testing him. How bad do you want this blessing? How bad do you want it? "Well, I'm going to go now. How bad do you want it?" And Jacob said, "No, I can't let you go until you bless me." This was a perseverance of faith. He would not let his faith get off of what he was believing for until he received it. He was believing for God to bless him, to be blessed. Now, the other thing that we see happening in this story is we see it taking a while, right? And obviously, I just mentioned the testing of his faith in God, you know, the testing of his faith in this particular situation, but also something that people don't realize in this story is Jacob needed to be confronted with his old ways before he could receive the blessing. What do you mean his old ways? Well, Jacob, if you've heard of the story of Jacob and Esau before, the name Jacob actually means heel grabber or deceiver. And so Jacob, he was a deceiver. And Jacob, he in his past, Jacob had always relied on deception for blessing. In the story of Jacob and Esau, he gets the birthright by deceiving his brother, or by doing a trick with his brother, saying, hey, if you just give me, you know, I'll give you a little bit of stew, but you got to give me something. He used his own wits and smarts to be able to get blessing in the past. Then when his father is about to die and his father Isaac is getting ready to give the blessing to the oldest son, who was Esau, not Jacob. Esau and Jacob were twins, but Esau came out first, making him the older of the two. Isaac was getting ready to bless Esau, but Isaac, in his old age, his sight was not very good. So Jacob dressed up, because Esau was a super hairy guy, and Jacob was like more like of a not hairy guy. And I couldn't think of a better word than that. But Jacob was more of a not hairy guy. And Jacob was also kind of like a mama's boy, and Esau was more of like a hunter. So Jacob took a bunch of like hair and put it all over his body, and he put Esau's clothes on so he would smell like the outdoors, and he deceived his father into blessing him instead of Esau. But listen to this. You might be wondering, well, then how come Jacob was able to receive the blessing then? Well, watch this. This is how serious that the blessing of God is. This is how serious the laying on of hands is in the blessing of God. Isaac said once he released the blessing, it was released. So Jacob in the past had relied on deception to receive blessing. But watch this. Now he was seeking God for blessing. There was a transformation that was taking place in Jacob's life. There was a transformation that was far greater than simply him wrestling with God for a blessing. Something was happening in Jacob's life. Something was happening in Jacob's life. We even see this transformation so clearly in the fact that God doesn't just stop by blessing him. God changes his name. God changes him from Jacob to Israel. He changes him from heel grabber. Heel grabber, a name that's not very flattering, heel grabber and deceiver, to Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. You've been persistent. You've been persistent. I don't know about you, but that's how I want to be known in my faith, that I was persistent. I didn't give up. I didn't just, you know, say a prayer one time, and then if it didn't happen 5 seconds later, I gave up. I prayed and I prayed and I believed God, and then I saw what I was believing for come to pass. When I first started pastoring this youth ministry, and the reason why I bring it back to that a lot is because I can relate to this on a personal level. This is how I can relate to it. Maybe different for you. But when I first started pastoring here, I wanted to see this thing explode. I wanted to see it blow up. I wanted to see a packed room full of students, but it didn't happen overnight. I kept believing, I kept praying, I kept obeying. And then in time, God has caused this thing to continue to expand and grow to the point where we are now on our second room and soon to be our third room. Crazy. When I was younger, I remember I've told this story a lot before, but I had an arm injury, and my labrum was torn. I was 13 years old, and my father told me to believe God and confess the word over my life, to confess the word over my life. And I confessed and believed, and 6 weeks later, 6 weeks later, I believe it was 4 weeks where this happened, but then 6 weeks I went to the doctor. 4 weeks later, I felt one night a heat come over my labrum, and all of a sudden, I just could feel that my labrum was healed. Two weeks later, I went back to the doctor for the MRI. My labrum was completely healed. Why? Because of perseverance. I prayed. I believed God. Why did it take that long? Not because God, you know, was like, okay, well, I'm going to wait a couple of weeks. This has nothing to do with God. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes we don't always know why things take as long as they do. Sometimes it's because we're not ready for them. Sometimes it's because we haven't released our faith for it. Other times it could be because there's sin in our lives. But at the end of the day, it's not my job to try to figure out all the reasons. Sometimes you should get before God and ask the Lord to search you and let you know if there's something that is holding you back from receiving from the Lord. You should do that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to keep believing God. I'm not going to let my experiences determine my faith. I'm going to keep persevering. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. What you are believing God for will come to pass. It is only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. Remember this, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. God is outside of time. God is outside of time. I love this understanding and imagery that I heard one time. God is outside of time. So God can see somebody who is sick in their physical body, but still call them healed. Because while he sees that you may be sick in your physical body, he knows that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. He sees, listen to this, watch this. He sees Calvary, where Jesus died on the cross and was whipped for us, for our sickness, for our sin on that cross. He sees that. He sees us sick in our body, and he sees us healed all at the same time because he's outside of time. He can see it all at once. He's outside of time. He's outside of time. God sees you with your prayer answered. Don't give up on what you're believing God for. Be persistent. Now understand this. God is working even when you don't see it. God is working even when you don't see it. And some people make this weird where they're like, you know, they it's like God's working even when we don't see it, and then they never actually see it. That's not what that means. God is working when you don't see it, but then you will see it. Understand that, because I don't want to, I'm trying to break you out of any like thoughts of like unbelief when it comes to any of these things, because sometimes, oh, you know, even if we don't see it, he's working, amen, but then they never see it at all in their entire life. It's like, no, in time, faith becomes a reality. The things you're believing for become a reality in your life, and you should be able to see them and welcome them. But look at what John chapter 11, verse 21 says. Let's go there. John chapter 11. Verse 21. This is a very famous story in the Bible of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And I'll tell you this, Pastor Frank did a really great teaching on Lazarus and this last Sunday. And I thought this was so cool because I never saw this in the text before. But I had always thought that Jesus knew Lazarus was sick, but wanted to let him die for like a greater purpose or something like that. And that always confused me because it just didn't like, I was just like, oh, like, I don't know. Like that kind of like is a little bit confusing. Like I'm not really sure about that. And I had some different thoughts about that and things, but Pastor Frank was talking about how that it wasn't the case that Jesus was just like, oh, Lazarus is sick. Okay, well, I'm just going to wait here a couple days, let him die, and then go raise him from the dead. Rather, by the time the word got to him, he was already dead, and he proved it all through the text. If you want to hear more about that, you should go to our Faith Church website and listen to Pastor Frank's sermon this last Sunday. Is it up? So, you guys can definitely go do that if you want to, but I'm not going to focus on that right now. What I'm going to focus on is verse 21. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha, at least two. I actually don't know if he had any more than that, but the Bible lists two, Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha have another famous story in the Bible where Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and Martha is too busy doing other things. If you were at Impact last night, you heard me talk about this. But I'm sure that many of you guys could understand that if your brother just died and you were a follower of God and your brother just died, you know, obviously you're going to be a little bit upset. And even at times, people can begin to blame God and be like, oh, like God this, you know, God that. I can't believe that God did this. Like, you know, God took my brother. God took my mom. God took my sister. God took my, you know, this, that. It can become very easy to get into that type of thinking. And this is what Martha says to Jesus. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I when I'm reading this with the understanding that, oh, Jesus waited, you could think that Martha was like blaming him, like you should have been here. But actually, Martha's basically saying, if you would have been here when he got sick in the first place, then he would have been healed. This is a declaration of faith more than it is a declaration of unbelief. It's a declaration of faith. And that's even supported by what she says next. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. See, this is faith. This is persistent faith. This is not giving up on your faith. Where he said, I know that even now, even though my brother's dead, God, I know even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone rises at the last day. This is a very common response from somebody in the church today. I begin to preach, you know, something, you know, according to the Bible. Jesus is going to heal you. He's going to touch your body. And someone's like, amen, I know one day we'll be dancing on streets of gold. And I'm like, no, I'm not talking about one day when you get to heaven. I'm not talking about in 50 years. I'm not talking about when you die. I'm talking about right now. And Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Don't you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Understand this. Martha, here in this text, Martha doesn't give up on her faith. Martha doesn't give up on her faith. Martha's like, yeah, I believe that you are who you say you are, Lord. I'm not going to stop believing in you just because of an experience or circumstance that I faced. She kept her faith in God regardless. She kept her faith. You could be like Martha and keep your faith. You know what ends up happening at the end of the story? I'm sure many of you do. What ends up happening is that Lazarus rises from the dead. Lazarus rises from the dead. Keep your faith. Don't stop believing. Not like the song. But don't stop believing. Don't give up on your faith. Your faith is not over. It's not over for you. Don't give up on your faith. The things you've been believing for a while. Watch this. This will really encourage some of you guys that are watching right now. Go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to read it from the ESV. Don't we thank God for the internet? Got to get this phone out of the way so I can search it. There we go. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. So what is Daniel doing right now? Did we just have a power surge? We're good? Oh, okay, sorry guys. I thought that there was like a big flickering in the room. I was wondering if the rapture was happening for a moment. No, it wouldn't be happening because I'd be going up. Amen. But what was happening here? Well, Daniel committed himself to prayer. He was praying and he was in mourning for 21 days or for 3 weeks. And so as he's in this time of prayer, Daniel... And actually, let me address this. Why is he in prayer? Why is this happening? Well, one of the reasons why he's in prayer is because he is looking for answers and continual revelation on what he's already received. He understands the vision and the revelation that he's giving, and he's looking for more. But second, there was also, during that time, God's people were facing opposition and hardship as they were trying to rebuild the temple of God. They were trying to rebuild God's temple in the Old Testament, and they were facing opposition and hardship. And so Daniel begins to mourn, and he begins to pray and seek the face of God. And he's seeking the face of God for an answer. Daniel's not just seeking God for whatever. He's seeking him for an answer here in Daniel chapter 10. Not that it's wrong to seek the Lord just to seek him, to get to know him. But in this case, he's seeking the Lord for an answer. Many of us in our lives, we've sought the Lord for an answer. We sought the Lord for an answer. Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm looking for an answer. But for 21 days, Daniel persists in prayer, and he keeps on going in prayer. I know many people that after day one, after hour one, it'd be over. They'd be like, yeah, I'm done. You know, I already prayed for this thing. It's not going to happen, you know, whatever. 21 days, Daniel persists in prayer. Daniel keeps going in prayer. But look at what verse 12 says. Then he said, this is an angel that comes and sees him. 21 days later, then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. So watch this. First off, God heard him the first day. God didn't hear him the fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day. God heard him the first day, the first time he opened his mouth to be able to speak. God heard him. God heard you the first time that you came to him. The first time that you brought your request before him, the first time you stepped out in faith and believed, God heard you. He heard you the first time. He heard you the first time. Amen? He heard you the first time. But then it says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia. And I came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. So what happens? Well, first off, God heard him the first day. But we also can see from this, you don't know what's going on in the spirit. When you pray, pray and keep praying. Because you don't know what's going on in the spirit. This angel had an answer from heaven the first day. But as we read in Daniel 10, there was interference in the spirit to that answer coming. But Daniel kept praying and kept praying and kept believing, and he broke it through. And the answer arrived and came. The answer arrived and came from heaven. The answer came. You don't know what's going on in the spirit. Sometimes we don't always have a perfect answer to what's going on. But I'll tell you this, the word of God is true and everything else is a lie. Keep believing until you get what the word of God says that you can have. Keep pressing on. Keep believing. You can have what the Bible says you can have. Whatever this book promises you, you can have it. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. Just because you prayed one time and you didn't see it happen, keep praying. What if Daniel gave up the first day? Oh, I prayed. Day one was whatever. I guess it's done now. What if Daniel gave up on day 20? Day 20. The day before the breakthrough. The day before the answer, day 21. What if he just said on day 20, you know what? I did this for 20 days and nothing happened. But he pressed in until he got an answer from heaven. Until he got an answer from heaven. We leave the presence of God too quickly. We give up too quickly. Sometimes we need to wait in his presence. We need to press into him more. Persevere. Keep going. Just like Jacob. I will not let you go until you bless me. God, I want to be blessed. And I'm not leaving this place. I am not leaving this room. I am not leaving my prayer closet until you bless me, God. I am not leaving this place until I get something from heaven. One of my favorite stories from one of my very good friends, Evangelist Wesley, he went in his closet because he felt the Lord tell him to go into his closet. And he closed the door. And when he came out of his closet, he had, like at North Point, we had these like little kind of walk-in closets, not entirely, to be honest with you. I don't know if I would be able to fit in there. He can because he's smaller than I. But he was able to get in there. And he prayed in there, and he said he came out, and it was 6 hours that had gone by. Just flew by. The other day, I went to this place that I pray sometimes. I have this place that I go to pray sometimes, and I went there, and I just began to seek the Lord, and it was just like time began to flew by me. I pressed in. I was like, God, we're getting this. I'm getting this from you, Lord. I'm getting something from heaven. I prayed. I said, God, it was yesterday. God, tonight's going to be a great service. God, people are going to receive. They're going to get it. I believe you, Lord. I believe your word. Get this. You're not demanding something. You're not demanding God. You're not demanding God, but your faith is expecting something. expecting something. God, I know that tonight's going to be a good night. I prayed until I was confident that it was going to be one of the best services that we ever had. I prayed that level of prayer. And I'll tell you what, last night was phenomenal. I had a couple people come up and they were like, yo, last night was fire. And I was like, yeah, the power of God came. The power of God came without the help of God. Without the help of God. Imagine if I would have gotten up there 10 minutes in. Lord, I pray that tonight would be a good night. I don't really feel that it's going to be a good night. Well, I guess we'll just go back to my office now. No, I pressed in. I prayed. Don't give up on God so easily. Don't give up on God so easily. People give up like this. Oh, you know, I prayed once. Keep praying. What made you stop? Why don't you believe anymore? Anything is possible to the person who believes. What if the woman with the issue of blood said, I'm not going to push through the crowd? What if the guy that was with that other group of men that was paralyzed, what if his friends and him just said, it'll be too hard to get to Jesus? That man wouldn't have come through the roof and received his healing, not only physically, but spiritually as well. His sins were forgiven as well. What if blind Bartimaeus would have shut up when the crowd told him to stop talking? Blind Bartimaeus, they told him, be quiet. What if he said, you're right, you have a good point. He probably would have heard me the first time. No, he cried even louder. You got to get that in you. I'm going to cry even louder. I'm going to cry even louder. Jesus, I believe you. God, I'm doubling down on my faith. God, I'm not going to let this doctor's report deter what I'm believing you for. God, I'm not going to let what this person is saying. I'm not going to let what this person's telling me to do or that person telling me to do take me away from what you are speaking to me to do. God, I'm not going to let this financial situation take me away from giving. Let me give you a tip, by the way. If it ever comes down between you giving your tithe to the Lord or you paying for your internet or for your phone bill, cancel your phone and pay your tithe. And when you get it in your mind that that's what you're going to do, by the way, I'll tell you what, God will always make sure that everything gets taken care of. Don't worry about that. I don't know why I felt led to say that. I just wanted to say that real quick. Amen. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. Last, I want to encourage you with this. God wants us to keep believing. Go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Who's still with me? I'm curious. Awesome. People watching on YouTube, cool. If you're still with me, I appreciate that. I'm happy that you're here. Happy that this is blessing you. Hope this is encouraging you. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. I love that right there to start. It says that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. In other words, pray and not give up. Pray and not give up. That we are to pray and not give up. Pray and not give up. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. So this is all in the context of praying and not giving up. And there was a widow in that city, who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect? Or that's us Christians, who cry to him day and night. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What is this story about? Watch this. I heard somebody interpret this incorrectly, and they focused on comparing God to the unjust judge, that God is the unjust judge represents God in this. Here's the problem with that. God is not unjust. It says neither feared God nor man. This is not somebody that feared the Lord, not somebody that respected the Lord in this parable that Jesus is giving, because it's not a real person. It's a representation. But in this, he's saying, he's basically giving us this point. If an unjust judge will answer a petition if you bother them enough, how much more will God answer his children? If someone who is unjust will answer the petition of somebody that bothers them enough, how much more will God answer our persistent prayers where we pray and we don't give up? An unjust judge that doesn't care about some random lady, fine, I'll give in. How much more will a God that loves his children? God grants justice to his people quickly, though. Understand that. That's what it says in verse 7. It says, will he delay long over them? It says, I will tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Unlike this unjust judge, you're not going to have to go to God a million times for him to bring justice to your situation. You can go to God and he'll bring it to you speedily. Keep going to the Lord. Keep bringing your petition before him. Thank him that it's going to happen. Thank him that it's already done. Lord, I thank you that you heard the things that I'm asking for, and I'm going to receive it in Jesus' name. I'm not backing down. I'm not giving up. They're saying on Instagram they can't hear me. Let's see. Can you guys hear me on Instagram? Oh, Ricky just said never mind. Okay, they can hear me. Go to Matthew chapter 7. But before you do that, I'll even end here. Jesus says at the end, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You know what Jesus is saying? When he comes, is he going to find people who will believe that he will answer? Do you believe that God will answer? Do you believe that God will answer? I hope you do. I hope you believe that God will answer. Go to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to end here for today. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. It says this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. These are assertions, these are confident statements that if you ask, it will be given to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Amen. Amen. Ask and it will be given to you. When you ask God for something, God is not a wicked father. Even a good earthly father, if their son asks for something, if their daughter asks for something, they want to give it to them. We serve a good God that wants to give good gifts to his children. He wants to give good gifts to his children. I hope that this encouraged you today. Don't give up on your faith. Don't give up on your faith. Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. Amen. If this encouraged you today, tomorrow it's going to go up at noon. You can share this with somebody else. Amen. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to get right with Jesus. I don't even necessarily think there's anyone on here right now that needs to get right with Jesus, but I want to do this because I want to show God that I value leading souls to him, because that's the most important thing. If you're watching this video right now, or maybe someone sent it to you and you're watching the recording later on, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ today. He's a prayer answering God. He wants to do a work in your life. The truth of the Bible is that God created us, but we rebelled against God. That rebellion is called sin. What is sin? Sin is breaking God's law. It's missing the mark. We've all sinned, the Bible said, and fallen short of God's glorious standard. We all have, including me. The Bible says that the payment for our sin is death. We all deserve to die because of our sin. What's the big deal with sin? Well, sin is the reason for all the bad things that we see in the world. Sin is the reason why people die young. Sin is the reason why people get sick. Sin is the reason why people are living on the street. Sin is the reason for all the bad in the world. And the Bible says, ultimately, the payment for sin is death. We all deserve to die. But Jesus Christ came down and did something about that. God in the flesh, he lived a perfect life. He was tempted in every way that you are and that I am. But he did not sin. He then went to the cross and he took the payment for our sin. He was then buried in the ground, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. Today he is inviting you to give your life to him. He's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way to heaven. There's not 1,000 different roads. It's only through Jesus Christ. And today is your day to get right with Jesus Christ. Whether you're watching this now or 6 months from now or a year from now, today is your day to get right with Jesus Christ. If you want to get right with Jesus, I want you to do this. Say this prayer after me. Say this right where you're watching. Out loud. Not in your heart, out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, today I give you my life. I turn my back on the way I was living, and I put my faith in you. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. He was buried in the ground, and he rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a Christian now, and I'm not turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope that that blessed you today and encouraged you. If you just said that prayer, welcome to the family of God. You're a Christian now. The most important thing for you to do, get a Bible, get into a Bible-believing church, start going to church. What is a Bible-believing church? A church that preaches this Bible. If you want to see an example of a Bible-believing church and what a Bible-believing church believes, you can go to our church website, faithchurch.cc, and check out what we believe. You can also check out our YouTube channel for more information. Impact Youth, if you're watching on YouTube right now, you obviously see that. But I'm so thankful for what God is doing, and I hope that this encouraged you today. Don't give up on your faith. God is doing something. We love you guys. I can't wait to see you next week.
For listening to the Uncanceled Podcast, we hope you are blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.